Hello, respected viewers. Welcome back to my channel. So I'm commenting on the fact that the officer who killed Chris Carver has been charged with murder. So Chris Carver, he was shot dead, if I've got this right, the 7th of September 2022 in Streatham in London. Mr. Carver was 24 years old at the time of his death, and he was not carrying any weapon. So Metropolitan Police officers have been investigated in controversial slayings down the decades. So far as I know, he's the first one to be charged with murder since Tony Long, who back in the 90s, Tony Long was acquitted. I later read Tony Long's memoirs about it. So I don't know enough about the particulars of Chris Carver. I've heard the rumor that he tried to drive his car into the police. I don't know if that's true. That might be completely false. And I've been to the site where he was killed, only a couple of weeks after he was killed, and there was a vigil. Some people were there permanently. There was a plaque on the wall, flowers there, photos of him, an Arabic inscription suggesting he's Muslim. With a name like Chris, you'd think that he wasn't. So, why was he killed? Obviously, with the right to life under the Human Rights Act, which enshrines the European Convention of Human Rights into British law. But in fact, the United Kingdom had the right to life for centuries prior to that. But why not in this case? Now, the European Convention on Human Rights specifically provides that the police can kill people when that's utterly unavoidable. But this seems to be rather avoidable. You know, that's the minimum force needed to use. But inevitably, mistakes will be made. The police, someone thinks someone that needs to be killed. They kill that person, and it turns out that they're wrong. So should that police officer face a murder charge? Because under the Homicide Act, if you kill someone deliberately or recklessly, you can still be found guilty of murder. So if you're reckless as to whether this is necessary or not. Now, there's been this exhaustive investigation for over a year before charges were laid against the officer in question. He was on gardening leave for a long time. His name has not been divulged, but we do know it's a male officer. And I'm a bit old school. For me, male is known by the pronoun he. Anyhow, so the Metropolitan Police officer in question was in court on Thursday this week. So dozens of Metropolitan Police firearms officers are now refusing to carry firearms, and they'll perform ordinary duties, but they won't carry guns. In the United Kingdom, police do not, as standard, carry guns. Only a small minority do. Police officers can carry batons, pepper sprays, tasers, but only those with very specially trained with firearms are allowed to carry them. So to only shoot if absolutely necessary and so on, shoot with effect. They've got a first aid kit to try and patch the person up and save the person they've just shot if the person isn't stone dead. Give that person a chance of living, obviously, which doesn't always work. They're always deployed in pairs. So they're very highly trained. They're very well paid. That must be the astonishing thing about their career. Training all the time to kill people. And ideally in your career, never, ever doing it. But just being there, being vigilant. I hope it doesn't seem macabre. You think you might almost want to do it. If you're prepared for it, this is almost like a career highlight and just not doing it. But it can't be too trigger happy. But the trouble is they're too trigger unhappy. Then more people could get killed in an incident. Their comrades could get killed. So you put yourself in this position, this police officer, they're called to this incident, they're given intelligence by whoever is in command. This is the suspect. We believe he's dangerous. We believe he's armed, blah, blah, blah. You got to stop him. And Chris Carver was killed with a single bullet. So the other Metropolitan Police officers are unsurprisingly very perturbed and worried about the repercussions to themselves, because if they kill someone and it turns out to be a case of mistaken identity or something like that, or regard as an overreaction, they could be going to prison for life. And so who on earth would do this job if that's what you're going to get for performing your duties, executing your duties, if you will? So it's not Chris Carver's fault. So far as I know, he's totally innocent. We don't even have the death penalty, but he was killed without trial. He's highly contentious, partly because he was black, and I don't know the race of the police officer involved. I suppose one way to maybe win the confidence of the black community would only allow black officers to be firearms officers, in which case nobody could say it was racial animus against them. And Mr. Carver, he died the day before Her Majesty the Queen. And were it not for that timing, the Chris Carver story would have been a much bigger story, dominating the headlines. And the death of Her Britannic Majesty kept it off the front pages for weeks. And I thought that if Chris Carver's killer was not charged with murder, then there could be riots. Now, the man who shot him dead might yet be acquitted. We don't know. They could have charged with homicide, but for reasons unknown to me, the Crown Prosecution Service has chosen to charge him with murder. And obviously they're in a difficult position as well. They need to sift the evidence. They need to examine the evidence that's suggestive that this is murder and any evidence which might appear to be exculpatory and so on. And the Crown Prosecution Service, they don't determine whether someone's guilty or not. They only decide that there's a reasonable prospect of securing a conviction. And then it'll be up to the, the court or the jury to decide. The police initially investigate. They hand the file of evidence to the CPS. The CPS, Crown Prosecution Service, they can drop the charges later on. Okay, it's very difficult. So in the 3 days or so since the charges were laid, a lot of people are not going to do this. So who on earth is going to go and defend Londoners in a terrorist incident? Because this Metropolitan Police officer say, well, if I kill someone, it turns out to be the wrong person, I'm going to prison for life. If I kill someone believing he or she is armed, and it transpires that person was in fact not armed at the time I shot the person, then I'm going to prison for life. So I'm not taking that risk. If, you know, police firearms officers are human, to err is human, all right? Everyone makes mistakes, and that includes them. And if they make that mistake, that could be an innocent person who gets killed. And if they don't open fire when they should do, again, an innocent person could be killed. They shoot, they miss, they could kill an innocent person. They shoot, they hit, or whatever, or there's a ricochet, could still kill an innocent person, and so on. And if they're too hesitant about shooting, the terrorist, whoever's on the rampage with a knife, whatever, could kill more people or get away or whatever. So these are terrible dilemmas. On the other hand, that's the job they volunteered to do. That's what they're very well paid for. And if you don't accept the risk, don't accept the job. I wouldn't accept that risk, which is why I would never seek to do that job. So this is an occupational hazard. I mean, on the other hand, we can't have the police opening fire on all and sundry. We can't have them killing people willy-nilly. You look at the United States, where several hundred people are shot dead by the police every single year. Now, in some cases, the police are right to kill that person. There are other honest mistakes. There are other incidents where it's not an honest mistake, where the police are getting away with murder. Now, admittedly, the United States is awash in guns. It's got more guns per capita than any other country in the world. And the police have to have firearms because almost everybody else has firearms. And so that's why you can't take a pea shooter to a gunfight. So it's all very troubling. How will it end? Now, if this policeman is acquitted, some people say, oh, he should never be in charge in the first place, which is not true, because there could be quite strong evidence against him. It's not necessarily probative. It's only the jurors are the ones who will decide. They will vote guilty or not guilty. Obviously, he's tried in the Crown Court because it's a murder charge. It's only triable before a jury. It cannot be tried before a judge alone. And there could be extended extenuating circumstances. People are automatically sentenced to life in England for murder, but then the tariff set can be ridiculously low, like 3 years, like Tony Martin, that eccentric farmer who shot dead Barry Fearon, the 16-year-old burglar, but was released after only 3 years. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Please subscribe to me on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.